Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, the Jeff Ulbrich, defensive coordinator for the Falcons, apology. And the story about his son prank calling Shedeur Sanders, which still has legs today because Ulbrich apologized yesterday after the league fined him $100,000 and his employer $250,000. Led to the question, his kid cost Arthur Blank $250,000.
He cost two entities a combined $350,000.
And one of them's his dad. Here's the crazy thing is like Jeff Ulbrich was the Jets interim coach last year. So yeah. He's new to the Falcons. Like can you imagine being a brand new employee and you're costing your owner $250,000 because your kid's an idiot?
And the kid, like, it's one thing to screw your dad over, but then to screw your dad's employer over. Yeah. That's just such a double whammy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I tell you, it's a real hit to the birth rate, man. There's a lot of people looking at this story and be like, no. I'm not having kids.
Yeah.
What, this is the kind of crap? Oh, great. No, you don't need these kinds of headaches and hassles.
That's right.
Trust me, kid. Trust me. It's worth it, everybody. As long as you know, do it appropriately.
I'm not saying
don't go be teen mom out there.
No.
But,
no.
You know, yeah. Find somebody you love, marry him, spit out a bunch of chillins.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Daddy's Social Security needs some buffering.
Yeah, that's
okay?
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. So a lot of people are texting and we posed the question, What's the thing you've done idiotically that's cost your parents the most money? And a lot of them are car accidents, but there's a couple. And I know you've got another story, Seth, and then we're going to get to Nick Caserio.
No, these ones are better. Yeah.
Okay, so someone says, let's see here. Crashed into a girl skiing in high school. My dad got sued for $50,000. Settled for
him
10
crashing
grand.
Into the girl?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, she should have gotten out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm suing you because my daughter's a horrible skier.
Got 10K?
I'm guessing he was skiing recklessly.
Got 10K out of it. Yeah, probably. I don't. Yeah, it's, you know.
Oh, he got 10K out of it because they sued.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, fine. Here's $10,000. I'm going to pay the same in legal fees.
Yeah. Dude, 10K. But whatever
that's
age.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a Especially lot.
If you were skiing recklessly,
yeah,
it was your fault. Shame on you. Shame on you, kid who is rich enough to be skiing. But that's neither here nor there.
The age where you would be recklessly skiing was probably the age where I was at my poorest, like getting into radio. Like, Mike, you know, you're probably doing that when you're, you know, early teen years.
Yeah.
Things are better now, but like 10 grand would have really been sweet wet bite out of my butt when I had like $178 in my checking account.
You weren't making much money at all and your kids were teenagers.
Yeah. I'm lucky I got good kids, man. My friends and
luckily, Sammy was very small as a child, so he wouldn't have done much damage if he had run into somebody. James would have been your problem.
Yeah, James is more of a barrel. Let's see. My friends and I spent $600 on 1-900 sex numbers in junior high. That's from Chase in the Woodlands. $600.
Hey, brother. Hey, listen, man. There but by the grace of God go I. My social anxiety would never allow me to call one of those things.
No.
I'd love to say I was too pious a child to try it.
No.
But yeah, that was... we don't need to explain this to kids who don't understand. The 1-900 numbers, man, those were dangerous.
Yeah.
And there was no... It was few and far between the excuses you could make when your parents see a 1-900 number charge on there. Like, they were. It was only for gambling, lustful pursuits, and that was about it.
Yep.
And maybe, astrology. You could have said I was calling Miss Cleo.
You, as recently as like 30 years ago, it was like the mid-90s, before the internet and iPhones were a thing. If you wanted scores of games that were going on, you had to call a 1-900 number that ESPN had to get up-to-date scores.
You know what, though? Celebrities would have their own 1-900 numbers sometimes. Like, you could call up and find out what... It was even before Justin Bieber, probably. Yeah. But let's say Justin Bieber. Like, you'd get... That was the social media back then. Is, oh, wow. It's like he's talking just to... hey, this is Justin Bieber, and I just want to know I'm thinking about you guys.
Yeah. And it would... And $1.99 a minute. You know? It was just that... They would just rake in the money. I'll tell you the thing about... This is not... From personal experience, this is from experience of a buddy of mine who called the 1-900 numbers.
Yeah.
From his, you know, from his parents' phone, his house phone.
Yeah.
Is that some of them were associated with publications. And so they would be able to tie the number to a physical address. And then guess what started showing up in the mail? Little pamphlets of 1-900 advertisements, ads for sex toys, things like that, like catalogs. Yeah. You would all of a sudden get on that mailing list. So that was the silent killer right there. The pamphlets showing up. Like, all of a sudden, like, why, you know, your mom goes to the mailbox, why are we getting these?
Well, remember the time, the story about when I had to tell the angry caller who was demanding to know whether we were fraudulent as a business or not, and I said, we're a corporation. When I was 15 years old working for my dad, he was selling 1-900 numbers. He was a broker for 1-900 numbers. He was pitching it to people, like going, and now he wasn't, he was trying to do it for more legitimate. To my dad's credit, it wasn't for smut. It was for other stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a time, man, where that business, incredibly profitable. The 1-900.
It was like $3 a minute.
Yeah. Besides a car wreck, these are texts, and then we'll get to Casario here in a minute. Besides a car wreck, I tried doing donuts with my dad's golf cart and cost him like $5,000 for body work and batteries. LOL.
Donuts are a big one. If you grew up north, donuts on the ice are a big one for causing really stupid accidents.
Oh,
my brother crashed my dad's Ford Ranger into a post in a parking lot because he was doing donuts at 5 a.m. in January before wrestling practice.
Yeah, donuts, the not-so-silent killer. When I was about 5, I thought the checkout aisles that had candy were free, and I took some Tic Tacs. My dad made me go back in and tell the manager what I did, LOL. I guess that's their response to my peeing story that I told.
I remember that. I bet a lot of kids have stories like that. I can remember, it's one of my earliest memories. I was definitely younger than 5 years old. I was standing, you know, in the checkout line with my mom, and I saw some candy that I liked, so I grabbed it. And I didn't know to hide it or anything because I was no there. But my mom was mortified. She had to run back into the store and apologize and everything.
Had to call my parents at 2 a.m. to pick me up from jail for a DUI 2 weeks before my 21st birthday. So not only are you drinking illegally, but you're drinking and driving.
And you got a DUI right before, did your parents, well, the jail, okay, so a lot of parents will have the rule like, hey, if you ever need us to come pick you up, because you were drinking, you won't get in trouble, we just want you to be safe.
Yep.
And it's hard as a parent to abide by that, but first and foremost, you gotta be sure that you can go pick them up. But the DUI kind of erases all that.
Yeah.
That's, we're totally gonna, and you didn't call us before you got in the
Correct. You called us from jail. Yeah, you called us from jail. All right, we'll get to more of these. 713-572-4610. All right, Seth, you and I both watched this Casario interview. I'm going to let you set this up because you just talked about this topic a couple segments ago.
Yeah, so there was a report on day two of the draft, and it came from Albert Breer that the Texans had tried to trade back up into the first round after they had traded out of it, and that they were targeting Josh Connerly. The offensive tackle out of Oregon. And I just didn't know. I was a little bit skeptical of it just because, man, it seems like you're just trying to get way too cute, trading out and then trying to trade back in. Casario addressed at least part of that when he was on with John and Mark yesterday.
Once we made the move, I mean, there was an opportunity or two where if we can get back in, maybe in the bottom a little bit and grab a player, great. If it works, if it didn't, no worries. Then we'd be prepared to pick really. We felt we were probably going to pick that second pick on Friday at 34, which is the second pick. Cleveland was going to pick first more than likely, and then we were more than likely going to pick. And then after that, then it was an amalgam of like a lot of different things that could happen.
Okay. I think it was honestly, and Josh Connerly, I would totally understand why they would have liked Josh Connerly. I thought he was worth a late first-round pick. But I thought it spoke to, I think there is very much a part of Nick when he's in the draft. It really is about the points for him. And they try not to fall in love with individual players. They're just like, hey, if it makes sense and the value is there, they're sitting there at 25. The Giants gave them a good offer. The Texans won that trade. You don't criticize the Giants when they're trading up for a quarterback. They're going to overspend for a quarterback.
Yep.
So it made sense. And my first knee-jerk was, man, you're getting too cute trading back out and then trying to get back in. I don't think he was all that desperate to get back into it. I think, as he said that night on Thursday night, there was a group of players there that they liked. And if you take him, you do. If you don't, it's on to the next one. I know in the moment, it's tempting because we want our candy now. And we just want to grab it off the shelf like I did as a young shoplifter. But I kind of respect the fact that Casario really doesn't – he tries not to get emotionally attached to these guys. And he actually – he spoke about not getting emotionally attached when Vandermeer asked him about that dynamic, like not falling in love with individual players.
Yeah.
You try not to get emotionally tied to one particular player. You understand the player. You've graded the player. He has a certain role or value for your team or you think. If you have the opportunity to draft him, great. If you don't, then you just kind of move on to the next thing. And we were doing that really Thursday, Friday, and even into Saturday as well.
Yeah, that's the way you take emotion out of it is to go by numbers. These trades are worth this. This player has this numeric grade. Like, you just don't stray away from that, as hard as it might be at times to do that.
I think it's probably the biggest gap between the way GMs operate and how we as fans operate.
No doubt.
We fall in love with individual prospects.
Yes.
And we think about how this guy could help out right now immediately.
Yeah.
I much prefer, it's not as entertaining, but I much prefer the GM who's got that cold-hearted and calculating side that just doesn't, tries not to fall in love with anybody. The exception that might prove the rule here, and or test the rule at least, is in Casario explaining why they traded up to draft Woody Marks. Mm-hmm. Tell me how I'm supposed to take this if you're not supposed to be falling in love with individual players and yet the Texans traded up to draft Woody Marks in what a lot of people think was overly aggressive on the part of the Texans.
We didn't have a fourth. We didn't have a fifth. By the time we picked in the sixth round, there's probably a good chance that Woody was not going to be there. So it's trying to figure out, where do we have to go? Are we willing to give up the compensation associated with that? So I would say that was part of the rationale behind the Woody decision.
Okay. You're right.
It feels like they really, really like Woody Marks.
Yeah.
They really... And the trade up for a specific player, to me, maybe I'm reading into too much. I feel like it's almost acknowledgement that, like, okay, we can trade up for him because he's probably not going to go until there's a good chance he doesn't go until a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guessing that there were also still players, though, that they also liked. That,
yes.
You know, he likes to go into bands of players.
Right.
So if Woody Marks was gone at the, you know, within a pick or two after they traded up, that maybe, or as they were trading up, that they if they just missed out on him, that maybe they would have gone with somebody
else. There was
else.
A plan B, probably. I mean, he's talking about Woody there because they actually did draft him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, too, you know, roles play into it as well. Like, there's a specific skill set Woody Marks has that I think, you know, that maybe that's why you talk about him with some specificity, or why they may feel like, now that would play into a need, you know, the need of a third down back and someone to catch the ball out of a backfield, you know?
Yeah, that does feel a little bit like you're drafting for need there. We'll bring this up to him. I promise everybody, we'll bring this up to him. I'm gonna give him my definition of drafting for need, mm-hmm. because he asked for a definition in the press conference. And we'll talk about trading up for Woody Marks, or it seems like he was trading up for a specific player.
Yeah.
I do think where I kind of rationalize it, or I think trying to put myself in their shoes, is Nick had also said before the draft that their draft board is probably smaller than a lot of other teams. And I think at that point, they didn't have a fourth or a fifth round pick. And the number of players that they felt really good about might have been dwindling. Mm-hmm. So they felt like if they're going to make it, if they want to get a guy that they feel good about, they don't want to sit around and wait two rounds for him to potentially be gone. That might have been one of the last remaining, or there might have only been a few guys left that they felt really good about in drafting in the fourth or fifth round. They just didn't have a pick to do it with.
Yep, for sure. A lot of people still weighing in. If circle back to the Rockets for a minute here, because we brought up the we brought up the article by Tim McMahon that talked about who's untouchable, who's not in a trade. And it feels a little dirty doing this the day after a win. We'll talk plenty about the game between now and the end of the show, too. But it was a good article in which they said Amen Thompson is untouchable. That's the one guy they won't trade. Text message, I do like Amen. I just think he's a bit overhyped when he's compared to Kawhi, et cetera, superstar. I don't know, man. Go look at Kawhi's first couple years and look at where Amen Thompson. I don't think he's overhyped at all. Like, it took a while for Kawhi to become the Kawhi that there is now. Like, he was a supporting cast guy on those. I know he was an MVP of the finals in, I think, 2014 it was, but he came in the league in 2011. You know, he was.
Right. Yeah, I guess it's premature if you forecast that. It'd be like if you forecast that James Harden was going to become what he became when he was the sixth man.
Yeah. Nobody
could do that. You know, Daryl.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Amori will be the first to tell you, we didn't know it was going to be like this. Yeah. You know, we knew he was really good and it was promising, but we didn't know he was going to be like this. As far as Alperen Şengün, where we had a few of our listeners are saying, no, he's totally untouchable. It is worth noting that Şengün joins Luka Doncic, Derek Coleman, and Oscar Robertson as the only player in NBA history to average at least 20, 10, and 5 through their first 5 career playoff games.
Oh, there you go. A little Derek Coleman sighting, huh? How about that? Former number one overall pick. Who is it?
That's from Brado NBA on Twitter.
Yeah, that's Brado's cool.
Local Houston guy.
Yeah, Brad's a good dude, man. Who is it again? Oscar Robertson, Derek Coleman, and Giannis? Who was it?
Doncic.
Doncic. Doncic. Oh, okay. Doncic. Yeah. Who's
they probably take in the same total calories per day.
They probably do.
That's the similarity between those two.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Thursday. All right, I was waiting all day yesterday, or all day 2 days ago for this. It finally dropped yesterday. The statement from Team Belichick on the CBS interview that was done. We've got
and a rebuttal from CBS.
Yes. Statement wars. Yes. We'll do that coming up next. Some of these answers are great on what's the most you've ever cost your parents making a mistake in the spirit of Jax Ulbrich costing his old man $100,000 fine for the prank call. $3,000 cell phone bill back in 1999. That was probably roaming charges, if I had to guess. Remember roaming charges, Seth?
Oh, roaming was the worst.
Yeah. That was probably roaming. It was probably, dude was probably outside the city limits and got banged for a bunch of roaming charges back in 1999. Yeah. Oh, that sucks. All right, let's get to this here.
Long distance charges in general on your landline.
LD, that used man.
Some of the times people bring up stuff that you completely even forget existed.
Yeah.
There was a time where, you wanted to call after 9 p.m. at night because long distance charges were less.
Off peak. Yes, off peak. So Bill Belichick has responded to all of the smoke going on about his just atrocity of an interview he did with CBS Sunday Morning where his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, reportedly interrupted the interview many, many times, stormed out of the room because of the questions that were being asked, delayed the interview for 30 minutes. And Camp Belichick has said, Seth, that they, and we'll read Belichick's statement here in a second, but the bottom line is they feel like they were mistreated by CBS in this whole
thing. Right, they feel like they were mistreated by CBS. And before we even get into this, I'm gonna deliver a word of caution to our dear listeners. Remember here, these are two entities that are very easy and tempting to pile on to, either Bill Belichick or big media.
Yeah.
So you try to separate, like, however you might, because it's you want to jump on big media. You know, like, those stupid networks. But by the same token, you're like, Belichick and his controlling ways, screw him. Just try to keep an open mind about all of this.
That's right.
Because there's a couple things that make me feel like Belichick and his girlfriend are still in the wrong here.
Okay, so we'll get to that. So I'm going to read the statement. I feel like, Ben, thank you, Ben, I need music underneath while I read this. Much the same way Jordan Hudson had Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift. This is Look What You Made Me Do, the karaoke version, so that Taylor doesn't drown out my words here. So this kind of puts me in the mood to read this.
And altered just enough that we don't get pegged with copyright violation or with
karaoke,
royalties.
Karaoke prevents that, I think, as long as there's no lyrics. This is Bill Belichick to the masses. I agreed to speak with CBS Sunday Morning to promote my book, The Art of Winning. Prior to this interview, I clearly communicated with my publicist at Simon & Schuster that any promotional interviews I participated in would agree to focus solely on the contents of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that expectation was not honored during the interview. I was surprised when unrelated topics were introduced, and I repeatedly expressed to the reporter, Tony Dacopil, and the producers that I preferred to keep the conversation centered on the book. After this occurred several times, Jordan, with whom I share both a personal and professional relationship, stepped in to reiterate that point to help refocus the discussion. She was not deflecting any specific question or topic, but simply doing her job to ensure the interview stayed on track. Some of the clips make it appear as though we were avoiding the question of how we met, but we've been open about the fact that Jordan and I met on a flight to Palm Beach in 2021. So that means they met. The relationship, Seth, has been reportedly 10 months, but they met several years ago, it sounds like.
Right, so, right around when the Patriots started really stinking it up.
Right around when Belichick's decision-making became very, very questionable.
He went haywire in free agency for the first time in his life.
Hired Joe Judge and Matt Patricia to be his offensive coordinators.
Yeah. Just after he met his creative muse, as he calls her.
Last paragraph. The final 8-minute segment, the interview, does not reflect the productive 35-minute conversation we had, which covered a wide range of topics related to my career. Instead, it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which is simply not true. End of statement. Bam.
End of statement.
Yeah.
One thing that's important there in that the statement that I didn't catch the first time around was he had made those... His desire to only talk about the book topic, he made those desires known to his publisher.
Yeah.
He did not say that CBS had assured him that they wouldn't ask specific questions.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And this is where, Belichick's no babe in the woods. He knows that you go in to talk to a news organization that they're not going to shy away from certain things. To somebody like... to somebody like Jordan Hudson, who might not actually know what she's doing and has zero experience, she might not realize that.
Correct.
So I like that's a lot of people are using that as like a slam dunk to say like, ah, look, CBS was dirty. Like, dude, no, when you go to talk to an actual news organization, not a podcaster. Podcasters will tell you all types of things. They're like, yeah, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to talk about that.
Right.
A news organization very, very rarely, like I think the old school journalistic ethics are, no, we don't allow you to control what we ask you about and whatnot.
This is CBS.
And Belichick should know that.
This is CBS News. Like this is,
yeah.
This is the organization. This is the organization who the guy who leads up 60 Minutes quit. Because of some of the things that were happening.
And again, and I know, and as we say that, I get it. I understand that there's issues with journalism these days and everything. That still is like a pretty standard thing.
Yeah.
That when you're talking to a network news organization, they shouldn't be agreeing to not address certain topics.
When we agreed to speak, this is CBS's statement. When we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed. You nailed it. The issue that Belichick should have is with Simon & Schuster, not with CBS.
Right. Yeah.
Belichick either said, I only want to talk about the book, and they said, sure, no problem, and either didn't convey that to CBS or conveyed it to CBS, and CBS said, no.
Belichick's statement, if indeed he wrote that statement, basically is saying, hey, I told Entity A that I didn't want to talk about these things. Entity B asked me a bunch of questions that I didn't want to be asked.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like your issue is with Entity A, not Entity B.
Yes, that's a great point.
And Belichick should know better.
Right.
Like Belichick's acting like he's some guy that just won the lottery and didn't realize that Connie Chung was going to be asking all these probing questions or what have
That's
you.
Right. This is funny. So Julian Edelman did a piece on it. He talked about this topic on his, I guess on his podcast, a clip wound up on Instagram where he was taking up for Belichick and Jordan Hudson, Edelman was, which I guess shouldn't be a huge surprise just based on what Belichick meant to his career, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it was.
Well, Edelman will admit to still being terrified of Bill Belichick.
Yes, so, he will. Yeah. So I don't have the clip. I just have the comments of the clip. And Nikki Glaser, the comedian who probably best known recently for being a part of the Amazon broadcast on Thursday Night Football, doing some comedy on there. And she killed it at the Brady Roast as well, which Belichick was at. She agrees with Edelman on this and says 100% this. She's acting as his publicist. Publicists do this during interviews. People are out for blood. Well, guess who had thoughts on that? Steve Belichick's wife. Steve Belichick, son of Bill Belichick, who I believe is the defensive coordinator on his staff at North Carolina. His wife, Jenny, replies to Nikki Glaser and says, now keep in mind, this is Belichick's daughter-in-law, wife of the son who's on his staff right now, says, publicists act in a professional manner and don't storm off set delaying an interview. This is getting juicy, man. This is getting so saucy.
Are we positive that that's actually Steve Belichick's wife?
No, of course I'm not positive of anything. A few people on Twitter pointed it out and said that was his wife. I'll look it up during the break.
You know what I've noticed is people in New England, a lot of sports radio listeners are irate about this. Some are irate about this in the same way that whenever we talk about Deshaun Watson, we get several people, and it's always the same several people who are really upset that we're even talking about Deshaun Watson anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in Boston that just flat out don't want to hear this stuff.
oh, really? Yeah.
The other report was that his girlfriend stormed off. Belichick's girlfriend stormed off set for 30 minutes.
Right.
And I maybe it wasn't clear whether she thought that Belichick was going to join her or not, but Belichick didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, honestly, this is the last thing that you want your college coach. If you're a UNC alum, well, I would say this is the last thing you want swirling around your college coach. And yet in the day of NIL, I don't know, maybe any publicity is good publicity, especially if you're a lesser program.
I don't know. I would just be worried. Like, this is a very different version of Belichick than the one that won all these Super Bowls, it feels like. You know, like I would be worried he's just not going to be a winning football coach, you know?
Is this any different a version of Belichick than the Belichick who thought that Jack Easterby just had a way with people and he was this special dude?
Was Easterby Jordan Hudson is more the Texans version of Easterby, I think. Like, right. did Easterby have Easterby,
No.
Go ahead.
Easterby didn't have the control in New England that he did here. But it was always funny to me because the way they would describe Easterby in New England was always this awesome player programs guy because the players really like him and he has a rapport with him. And Belichick valued him. The way I read it, it sounded like because Easterby would then go tell Belichick everything.
Maybe.
Like that it was like, wait a second. This guy's okay, so he's really good at buddy.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device. Plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Being up to the players and then going and telling everything to Belichick. I think because Belichick acknowledged that he doesn't understand the personal side of things sometimes.
Yep.
So he wants somebody to hit the easy button for on the personal side of things. And I think on the PR side of things, he just trusts. He trusts this woman way too much. Way too much.
Jenny _BEEEE is indeed Jen Belichick.
This is 100% Belichick's
100% Belichick.
Son's wife. It's his daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, so they don't, at least one member of the Belichick family doesn't sound like she's a huge fan of Belichick's
Jordan girlfriend. Hudson. Yeah. Do you think the text message, do you think this is exactly what Belichick wanted? Publicity. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if Belichick doesn't even seem all that excited about his book when he talks about it. You know, like I'm not even sure he wanted to write this book. I'm not even sure he did write this book. It's probably got a ghostwriter, I would imagine. Thanksgiving's going to be awesome at the Belichick house. Yes, it will be. It will be. This is Belichick's way of selling books without words. Grunt, grunt, grunt.
I'll tell you what, I've heard various celebrities I know have said that, man, you just don't quite know what you're getting into when you write an autobiographical type book or a memoir, because it's a whole different deal. It opens everything up and it's there in print forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything these days is out there forever on podcasts and what have you. But that it's just a whole different universe. And you got to be really, really careful about writing the book and then the publicity that comes with it.
Oh, boy. No doubt about that. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the Texans in the next segment. We'll get back to the Rockets at the top of the hour. They get a big win. We'll talk about the Astros in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Lance McCullers returning on Sunday. I think that's big. But we'll see. What do you guys think about that? 713-572-4610 if you want to weigh in on the text page here. On Payne and Pendergast. Up next, we will. Where do the Texans stack up by position group among teams in the AFC South right now? All the position groups, are the Texans the one winning the battle in the AFC South right now? We'll run through that more from Nick Caserio as well as we head towards the top of the hour. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Good to be with you. Rockets win. We'll get back to them at the top of the hour. Saw a graphic.
Feel disgusted about the conversation you and I were having off air.
What about
a couple of 17-year-olds talking about how to
get our social media following up? Media. I know.
I feel so dirty. Man, it's like the first time I bought a ring light. Dude, I'm like, oh, what has my life become?
I don't know. There's gold in them there hills, you know? Just saying. I saw this graphic yesterday and I have no idea who the tier maker graphic where they put things into tier. You just know I love tiers, TIERS.
Yeah.
But I thought the gist of this was very interesting. They took the AFC South and took all four teams and went by position group and put them into tiers, you know, first, second, third, and fourth best groups at each of those positions. And I just looking at this visually, there's five groups on offense and five groups on defense.
Yeah.
And this graphic gets me both excited and nervous. The nervous one is the only group position group where the Texans are not top two in the division. Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind it is a somewhat dilapidated division. But the
that's what the mat is, where a large portion of your schedule comes from.
That's right. No, this is why. But the one nervous thing, and I'll get to the really exciting part in a second. The one nervous thing, fourth best offensive line room in the division, still even after the draft, which makes sense. They only drafted one guy. It's a second round rookie. You don't expect him to all of a sudden shoot them up to second or anything like that.
Yeah,
they probably were the worst offensive line in this division last year. They were really bad. So still though, fourth in this division offensive line. Like, what's the? I don't know. Like, is that off base right now, Seth?
No. I don't think it's off base at all. Especially if you look at if they're going by PFF scores or what have you. The interior offensive line right now is not a group of stalwarts. Depending on where you put Titus Howard, it's not like Titus didn't have his best year either. Mm-hmm. And it was promising, some of the stuff he showed when he was at left guard, but you didn't get the best version of Titus Howard. Laremy Tunsil is gone. I think Cam Robinson's the one guy that I feel like I need to take up for Cam Robinson, in that a lot of people are judging him based on the half season he spent in Minnesota, and it wasn't his best football. But by and large, he's been a steady and consistent left offensive tackle for the Jaguars. He goes to a new environment, new offense, new scheme, and he didn't play as well. And people are acting like that's the stone cold version of Cam Robinson. I think that's where people are a little bit too critical of them. But by and large, yeah, you've got a lot of unknowns on the offensive line right now.
Yeah, if you had an offseason for stuff like this, where it's just people rating it based on the eye test and names and things like that, if you had an offseason like the Bears did for their offensive line, where they went out and made aggressive moves, you know, they paid Dahlman the highest paid center, they went out and got Joe Tooney. Like, if they had made moves like that, then that probably pushes them up. They're second right now in the division. Okay, the part QB. This had to be a Jacksonville person that made this graphic or that generated it. The Texans QB room is second in the division behind the Jacksonville Jaguars right now on this graphic. Stop it already. Stop it. CJ Stroud behind Trevor Lawrence on this graphic. I will not tolerate that.
I feel like that somebody succumbed to the magical showmanship of the magnificent
of the old Maggie G. Yeah. The old,
right.
Yeah.
They forget that. Wait a second. The Jaguars have actually done impressive things to help Trevor Lawrence in each of the last 3 years.
Yes.
They signed Christian Kirk 3 years ago.
Yep.
Christian Kirk came in and had a career year. He had over 1,100 yards receiving. The next year, they go out and they get Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
So maybe Calvin Ridley's the guy. Nope. Okay. Then they bring in Brian Thomas, and Brian Thomas did really, really well as a rookie. It's not like they haven't helped out Trevor Lawrence.
No.
But now, because they draft Travis Hunter, this is the deal. Now this is when you see the true Trevor Lawrence, and with Liam Cohen calling the shots, it's all going to be different. Come on.
Second in wide in running back room, you know, Joe Mixon versus Jonathan Taylor. The Colts are first. I can live with that. Second wide receiver room behind the Jags. I guess I can live with that because the Texans are relying quite a bit on a couple of rookies and somebody the Jags got rid of to boost the Nico Collins-led room. Like, Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter is probably going to be really, really good. Tight end, whatever. The Dalton Schultz is – the Texans are second in the tight end room, says more about the rest of the division than it does about the Texans. Defense is what gets me excited. Best cornerback room, best safety room, best linebacker room in the division, and coaching, they're the best as well in the division. The only place along the defense or with coaching where they fall short is with D-line, which would, by the way, include Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, two of the best defensive ends in football. This, again, has the Jags with the best defensive line group in the division.
This is propaganda.
This is Jacksonville propaganda, yes.
Realistically, though, I'm trying to just see, like, I'm trying to be objective here. How much of a homer am I being? I think that C.J. Stroud, by and large, has still shown way more of an ability to be a genuinely veteran NFL quarterback than Trevor Lawrence
100%,
has. Trevor Lawrence has had some nice stretches and some nice runs. For whatever it's worth, though, I mean, Trevor Lawrence did grade out better in various things like QBR than C.J. Stroud did last year. So I'm not going to get overly PO'd about that, but I think that In being able to actually play NFL quarterback, C.J. Stroud is already way more advanced than Trevor Lawrence when it comes to the mental side of the game, when it comes to some of the higher level stuff. It's just you can only do so much to overcome your environment and your youth. So I think if you polled a lot of people around the league, they would still feel that way. There's way more upside.
Oh, yeah.
Still with C.J. Stroud than
yes.
Trevor
Lawrence. Yeah. If you Twitter polled that thing of all the 32 teams, C.J. runs away with that, I think.
Yeah. Not one of our Twitter polls where 90% of our followers Texan fans. Are Texans fans.
Right,
yeah.
right. An unbiased Twitter poll.
Yeah.
The most fun room on this team is probably going to be the defensive backs room, especially with the addition of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Kay Adams. Nick Caserio was on with Kay Adams yesterday. And talked about that, said the defensive back room could be a good reality show.
Your DB room is so fun. Like if I could have a camera in that room or just, I just think it's so great.
That would be a great reality show in and of itself. I mean,
tell
it would
me
be incredible. A lot of personality, a lot of juice, a lot of back and forth, a lot of good natured fun, going to bring out the best in one another and going to bring out the best on the other side of the ball. But I mean, you're talking about guys like Lassiter, Petrie, CJ, Kalen Bullock. I mean, Sting probably says the least amount of all that group, but
really?
He kind of lets his play. Oh, Sting doesn't talk, so it's not his personality. He lets his play do the talking. So, but there's a lot of juice in that room, and you see it on the field. You see that energy. You see that emotion, which is how we want to play, which kind of reps our style, and which is what D'Amico wants to have on that side of the ball.
This is why defensive back rooms are typically the most entertaining position group in football, or maybe in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of that combined, that rare thing that you have to have where you have genuine confidence, where you not only believe that you're the best guy out there, but also you are, no matter how good you are at various times, exposed on a grand stage screwing up.
Yeah.
And so you have to have genuine confidence to the point where you really blow it on a play. No matter how good you are, you're going to get torched sometime or another, and you got to bounce back from it. So that extends over into them insulting each other.
Yes.
And that like they can take a burn. The defensive backs can take a sick verbal burn better than anybody else
thick
in the business.
Thick skin, man. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have incredibly thick skin, and mm-hmm. so because of that, they have a great ability to have each other's back, but B, also point out any little flaw you might have in your dentistry, your hygiene,
dentistry.
Your actual play on the field, whatever it might be. Yeah.
You can eat corn on the cob through a tennis racket. All right. dude, training camp is going to be so fun, man. Between the offensive line competition, which didn't exist last year, and this new. You know, they bringing guys like Gardner-Johnson in where the trash talk is going to be at a premium, this is going to be
no,
great.
No. If you want to see really good competition between the defensive backs and the wide receivers, what you have to wish for first and foremost, honestly, is that the O-line is actually better.
Right.
Because last year, it was really, really hard at various times during training camp for CJ to even get a playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just way too much of – and then in training camp, it's annoying because – the quarterback can scramble, but nobody's allowed to touch him.
Yeah,
so
hate those
every
plays.
Broken play, you're like, all right, it was a great play 7 seconds after the snap.
Yeah.
You know, it just, all right, yeah, great throw, but in real life, that throw, that pass attempt doesn't even occur.
Yeah, we like track the would have been sacks in those 11-on-11s, and there were a lot of them last year, you know?
And there were just too many times where Mario Edwards and Foley Fadakasi looked like large versions of Aaron Donald because they're in CJ's face 0.5 seconds after the snap.
Yep. Quick text here, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer. The UNC alum here even won ESPN's Fan of the Year contest with a buddy in either 2014 or 2015. I feel no better or worse about our odds this season either. Either going to be a dumpster fire or he still got it. Not expecting anything in between. This is the best point of this whole thing, Seth. That's the kind of risk profile a program like UNC should be shooting for, though. High variance, like either go for it with Bell.
Bust,
it's
right.
This particular texter sounds like he ain't going 6-6 or 7-5.
I very much am approve of UNC, even the way everything is folded on the PR side of things right now. I very much approve of them going after Belichick. Mm-hmm. That's because especially in college football where, oh, okay, USC, yeah, just go ahead and poach Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Oh, All right. I mean, look at the Aggies. You know, hey, yeah, go ahead and poach. It just, you don't know which college coach is going to work out no matter what they've done in college. Yeah. It's the same reason I thought it was a good move for the Jaguars to take a flyer on Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. It should be, it's just a huge X factor. You just don't know. But it's either going to be boom or bust.
Yep.
And with Belichick, they still haven't played any football games yet. We don't know how it's going to play out on the football field. I think it was a really smart move by UNC.
Yep.
And in this day of NIL and transfer portal and everything else, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing that there's all this non-football PR around them. It's putting UNC's name out there a lot more in the media at large and on social media than they ever were before.
The biggest thing from last night that gives me confidence for Game 6 on Friday, Friday night, 8 o'clock for the Rockets and the Warriors. We'll have that. We'll talk about that game. It was a big night last night for the Rockets. We'll do that coming up next.